On the Record with Gavin Riley on News Talk.
There is a lot of concern and a lot written today about the Delta variant, what it means, how many cases we're likely to see, what sort of impact that's likely to have on the country's hospitals, and just how differently people might experience the symptoms of the Delta variant relative to some of the other strains. I'm thrilled to say we have Professor Kingston Mills of the Schools of Biochemistry and Immunology at Trinity College on the line with us. Kingston, thanks very much for taking our call this lunchtime. How are you?
Good morning, Gavin. I'm fine, thank you.
Very good. Well, thank you very much for taking your call, as I said. One thing which arises from a lot of the coverage in today's papers is this idea, you know, Neffert had previously put forward the idea that when hospitality reopens indoors, it should only be to those who are fully vaccinated. Now there appears to be some kind of compromise on the cards where as long as you were to keep the two-hour rule, or if you were to keep 2 metres between parties, that you'd be allowed to have unvaccinated children and teenagers inside as well. From a virus management perspective, does that make sense to you?
Well, I mean, I would stick with the facts, as I try always to do. You know, the facts are that about 30% of all the cases we have right now in Ireland are on the age group under 18, and then the 19 to 34, about 40%. So the younger population is where the virus is transmitting. That's a direct effect of two issues. One, the vaccines are highly effective and they're stopping transmission in the vaccinated older population. And secondly, the Delta variant is more transmissible and it affects children more readily and young adults than it did the Alpha variant.
So it's your mind then, is there not a case to be made for allowing those people if they are now in light-share cases?
I'd avoid answering that question if I could. The common sense is the following. You know, indoor events, whether it be sitting in a restaurant or a pub or in your home or in a workplace, and you're not wearing a mask and you're not keeping a distance from someone, then it's conducive to the spread of the virus. And that's undebatable and that's scientifically proven. So that's the fact. Outdoor activity, whether it be dining, going to sporting events or working, is, you know, it still can transmit, and especially with the Delta variant, we've seen outdoor cases, but they're by and large much less than the transmission that occurs indoors.
Well, I suppose if I'm to frame the question in another way, and hopefully not in a way that makes it sound adversarial to those in the industry, if 30% of cases are now in under 18s, would there still be much of a risk from transmission if you were to put them indoors where they're going to be sitting 2 metres away from anyone else, and the only people that they're likely to be accompanying are those from the same party who are adults and who are fully vaccinated?
Yeah, I mean, if they're confined to their own family members, where they're probably living at home with them anyway, so the increased risk of being in a restaurant is no different than being at home. So from that point of view, it doesn't increase the risk. The risk is if they come in contact, for example, with bar or restaurant staff who haven't been vaccinated. And that's the big sort of elephant in the room in all of this, is that you're thinking all the time about the people who are going to the pubs and restaurants, but not about the staff, and very often the staff are young. And many of them won't have been vaccinated. So that's the risk for them, and they have to serve these people, and they're getting, you know, close enough to them. And this business about it has to be 10 minutes or 15 minutes within 2 metres is complete nonsense, because you can transmit the virus in 10 seconds if someone coughs or sneezes without wearing a mask. So that was, those figures were just dreamed up as a means of saying, you know, a longer period, and that is true, a longer period of contact. The risks statistically are greater, but it doesn't stop someone getting infected by being in contact with somebody for a short period of time if it's close proximity and they're not wearing masks. So that's the issue about indoor dining. I'm not saying that 18-year-olds shouldn't go to a restaurant. I'm just simply pointing out the facts of transmission, that it's in the young population. They, by and large, don't get symptomatic disease the same way as adults do. So they themselves are not likely to get serious disease, but they probably can still transmit the virus. And if they come in contact with somebody older who's not immune, then there's a risk that they could pass the virus on to them. So, that's the biggest risk.
So hypothetically, I suppose then there's a danger that the staff, if they're unvaccinated in indoor settings, irrespective of what kind of industry they're in, that they themselves could almost become vectors, because then they could end up then interfacing with unvaccinated children and there'd be transmission amongst them.
Exactly. And in a way, I mean, I'm a bit disappointed that all the debate is around, I mean, I understand that the industry, the restaurant, hotel, and the bar and cafe industry has to have some revenue. But there's an enormous amount of other industries out there that, and also schools and universities that need to get back into full-time teaching face-to-face in the autumn. So, you know, there's a lot of other areas that are not getting the same amount of media coverage in terms of what it means for them when, you know, if we're not all fully vaccinated by, we'll say, the end of August, but, you know, which was a hope all the adults will be, but of course children won't, or under 18 certainly won't.
So there'll still be the prospect of maybe even people in industries like your own who might be lecturing to young adults in September, and they'd be in an audience of people who are not vaccinated.
I mean, we're putting in place testing, you know, and we have been doing this rapid antigen testing. Where we'll be using this LAMP assay in Trinity, but others are using the more rapid tests. And that's one means, but it's not foolproof. And a much better means is to make sure all our students are vaccinated before they return to face-to-face teaching. And if we had that in place by the end of August, early September, we'd feel much more secure.
Yeah, well, I don't know what sort of general settings you might do some of your lecturing or your teaching in, but how would you feel about the prospect of there being a lecture theatre in the way that we all imagine them in our heads? Come, you know, mid to late September, where the first years are going back and everyone is beginning to go back to a college environment, where older people might be vaccinated and people of lecturing age, but where some of the students themselves might not be. Would that be safe in a Delta world?
Definitely not. I mean, you know, there's no question that, I mean, the face-to-face teaching is one version of it is in a lecture theatre where you have sometimes up to 300 people in one lecture hall. Our early years would have that many, our early first and second years would have at least 300 sometimes in a lecture theatre. But the other one is it's a face-to-face practical teaching. For example, medical teaching in anatomy, our teaching biochemistry and immunology, we have practical classes where students are in a practical lab and you know, supervisors and are there with them. So, you know, this needs to get back. This is a fundamental part of training of the next generation of scientists and doctors. So we need to be back doing that, not doing it on Zoom or some other media method, which is just, it's useful for the pandemic, but it's not really useful for practical training. So we need to get back to that. And to answer your question, sure, I wouldn't be happy going into, I mean, if I was doubly vaccinated with the Pfizer vaccine, I'd be quite happy to go into a lecture theatre where there were unvaccinated people. But I don't think a lot of the unvaccinated people, that, you know, the younger people, that where there were lots of other unvaccinated would be happy to go in. So you have to look at it from their perspective.
Even if they were of traditional college age, if they were somewhere between 18 and 21 or 22, and even if were they to contract COVID, that the virus would be, or the disease would be much less severe for them.
Yeah, that is absolutely true, and it's unlikely they end up in hospital. But the big issue for people getting COVID is this syndrome called long COVID, which affects, you know, as many as 20-30% of people. It's estimated in Britain there are between 1 and 2 million people that have long COVID. And of those, there were, in one study, 376,000 that had symptoms for over a year. So those are people that contracted the virus well over a year ago. So 376,000, if you extrapolate that to Ireland, we're talking about 25,000 to 30,000 people here who could have symptoms for up to a year.
So it's, even if they have a relatively mild sort of dose of COVID, that they'd still then have the same symptoms, or they don't feel like they've recovered for months afterwards.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And it's not just
can they work in disproportion? Symptoms. Could you have someone who has a relatively mild case and then who still has quite profound long COVID? Or is
it in proportion? Well, I'm not a medic, so I can't, you know, discuss that of it. But I do know, reading the scientific papers, that are that there are people who've had COVID who still have symptoms for a long period of time. These are young people. They're not necessarily people in their 50s and 60s and 70s and 80s. They're younger people who have had probably really mild enough COVID at the beginning, but end up having longer term symptoms. These are rare enough for the younger people, but they're still there.
I suppose people then would make the point, though, Kingston, that it's at some point society is going to have to return to the old normal, and we're going to have to go back to having mass gatherings both indoors and outdoors. And even if all adults or all eligible people were fully vaccinated at the time, and even if they had protection of above 90% for significant disease, that there's always going to be a certain number of people who sort of fall through that net. That if vaccines are 95 or 96% effective against significant disease, then they're going to be 4 or 5% of people who are still going to get it. And at some point, you're going to have to kind of accept that as being a new occupational risk for the world that we live in.
Absolutely. And, you know, we all know that the vaccines are not 100% protective, in that there's going to be a small percentage of what they call breakthroughs. And the data from the UK, which is probably the most extensive data on this, is showing some breakthroughs with people, even people who've had two doses of the vaccine. Now, by and large, most of these get fairly mild disease. So the bottom line is these vaccines are, even though the Delta variant is a more transmissible variant, the vaccines are working and definitely preventing hospitalization. 92, 96% the AstraZeneca and the Pfizer vaccine against hospitalization. So that's a fantastic situation to be in. If we can get everyone vaccinated, our hospitalization rate will remain low. I mean, you know, I think there's a lot of pessimism in some quarters about the future. I'm more optimistic because I think that the vaccines are doing a great job. And if we get this, especially if we get this extra million dose from Romania of the Pfizer vaccine, I think that could put us in a very good position by the end of August, where we would have nearly everybody in the adult population over 18 vaccinated.
There are logistical questions with that, but I suppose there are good questions for the HSC to have. Somebody gets in touch with them with a reasonable question on that line, which is, with the success of the vaccine rollout, to your mind, what percentage of the adult population do you need to have fully vaccinated before you can consider a full reopening of society back to the way it was?
If they're thinking about herd immunity, I mean, and there's been talk in the UK about this, and the UK have taken a very liberal approach now. I mean, they're ahead of us in the vaccine percentages, but not that much ahead. I mean, we're at pretty close to 55% now, and I think they're 65 to 70. So they've decided that's it. I mean, we're now opening up completely, and you know, we're going to take the risk on the unvaccinated and the younger, and there's going to be mild disease and just going to get on with it. And you know, there's some merit in that, but at the same time, I mean, the risk, it comes back to my earlier comment about long COVID, and if you're prepared to risk the possibility of getting long COVID, then we can all do that. We can just say, right, when we get 85 or 90% of the population vaccinated, most people are going to be stopped from getting a disease that's going to cause hospitalization. And that's, you know, that if we said that a year ago, you know, with 92, 96% effective against stopping hospitalization, we'd have been, you know, jumping for joy. And we are at that position now. So I think we should be more positive about it.
But I suppose then the question is that, is long COVID something that we can really seek to avoid? Because, you know, originally we were all sold these restrictions on the basis of trying to stop hospitals from being overwhelmed. And even although we've seen, you know, a modest percentage increase in the number of people in hospitals here so far, that it hasn't materialized into anything like the previous waves that we've seen. Do you believe that there's any prospect of the hospitals genuinely being overrun if enough people were to catch the Delta variant?
I don't think so. I think looking at the statistics right now, the numbers have creeped up slightly on the number of hospitalizations, and that's unfortunate for those who end up in hospital. And I don't know the numbers because in terms of the age that are in hospital, but I'd imagine most of them are still in the older age group, either breakthrough infections in people who've been vaccinated, or people who haven't been vaccinated, or people with underlying medical conditions that don't respond as well to the vaccine. There's always going to be, even with the flu vaccine, for example, you know, it's not 100% effective. People will still get flu who've been vaccinated, unfortunately. That's the nature of vaccination. Vaccination is designed to try and reduce as much as possible the spread of the virus or another pathogen in the community, and it's doing that. So I'd be optimistic that our hospitalizations won't increase. And I think, undoubtedly we will see more cases, and the numbers are creeping up in terms of cases. A significant number of those are mild or even asymptomatic cases. That doesn't mean that they can't transmit. So, you know, we would be worried if it went over 1,000 a day. I think it's containable where it's at right now. And if we manage to get everybody vaccinated and then we start on the younger, the under 18 cohort, I think, you know, we can be back to normal. Unless, of course, there's another variant that emerges, and this is the nature of the virus. it mutates all the time. So
yeah.
We already know about new variants that are emerging in various parts of the world. So, you know, the good news is the companies that are making the vaccines are already testing new versions, are ready to test new versions of the vaccine that takes care of the, or that's designed specifically to protect against the Delta variant.
Okay, there's loads of other listener questions that I won't really have the time to put to you, but I suppose you can boil a lot of them down to this point, though, which is that if you don't believe that hospitals will fundamentally be overrun, if you can't really ever stop, if there's always going to be some scope for vaccines to penetrate the vaccine, or for viruses to penetrate the vaccine wall, if some people are always going to catch some COVID, if it's going to be endemic and some people will catch long COVID, do you not have to just reconcile yourself to the fact that it's going to happen, and at some point you have to give up the fight and just allow society to return to normal?
I don't think it's a matter of giving up the fight. I wouldn't put it that way. I would put it this way, that, you know, we need to do as much as we possibly can to reduce the transmission as much as possible. And that's a combination of vaccination and other measures that minimize the chances of people getting passing the infection on to others. And we're doing that. And I think Ireland is taking a very sensible approach to this. I mean, I have to say, a lot of the scientists were shocked at what the stance that the UK took on this. And I think, you know, for the sake of a 2 or 3 more weeks, they could be, you know, have most of their adult population vaccinated there. And we're, you know, a little bit behind, but maybe about a month. But I think when we get there, I think we'll be in a much better place.
Okay, Kingston Mills, Professor of Immunology from Trinity College Dublin, thank you very much for joining us on the line this lunchtime. One texter to 53106 says, it's a great discussion on vaccines. I'm the CEO of a retail pharmacy group. I'm a pharmacist also, and I'm blown away with the level of engagement by 18 to 34-year-olds who want to get vaccines. That's from Patrick. So clearly a high appetite to get vaccines.